This is Phil Farron. And I am driving around. Whoa! Okay, so that's part of the excitement that I had today. So, yeah. A little more excitement with the recorder. The recorder is still not happy. I'm having to pull the battery pack out, put the battery pack back in just to kind of get it to do its thing. So it's going to be failing on us at some point, which is very sad. It's very sad, but it's had a good run. 13 years worth, so 13 going on 14 something. Anyways, I am in town. I'm not driving home because our small group is getting together once a month, approximate, through the summer. And so tonight is the night to do that. So as soon as I finish this up, I'm going to be heading back over to a restaurant. We're going to have a little meal at a restaurant, chit-chat, get caught up, see how everybody's doing, and then we'll go from there. I think I'm recovered. I'm still having a few dregs from my second bout with COVID. But I'm feeling fine, so I've still been taking a little bit of cough medicine just to kind of keep things knocked down and et cetera, but, you know, aside from that, I don't really have any problems, so good, made it through another round. See how many more of these rounds are there going to be before we're done. So it's an interesting thing. It's just very, very, very interesting. I'm just pulling into the cemetery that is near the church, and I'm going to find a little spot of shade. We're going to roll down the windows. We're going to chat for a little bit, and I will have no fear that my car will start again, because that was a concern earlier today. I actually came out to my car this morning, started up, and it kind of went and went, oh, that's different. Okay, and I had driven it yesterday, so it wasn't, I had stayed home for like 5 days, well, more than that, for, you know, a while here, because as soon as I started coming down with a cold, I stopped going into work, and then definitely once I had tested positive for COVID, it was like, yep, we're done. So I was working from home for those days, and but yesterday was the first time I had been back in. I was in yesterday, and so the car should have had plenty of time to get all charged up and everything, but apparently the battery decided that was it, I'm done. So the battery, I drove it into work. I left it at work. I was like, well, fingers crossed, let's see what's going to happen. I was leaving work today. I put in the key and it went, rrr, rrr. I went, oh, come on. Rrr, rrr. Come on. Rrr, 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 rrr. Took off. Yay. So I went by the friendly folks there at AutoZone, and they were very kind to test the battery and were gracious enough to sell me another one, which is all part of that marvel of capitalism. Capitalism. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. All is well with the writing. I had uploaded all the files for book 16, so that's officially off my plate now. I do have the small groups meeting tonight. On Friday, I will loop back around, start the reread on the stuff that I had gotten started with, the first half of the book. I'm a little bit behind because I should have already had that reread this week, but between the costumes and editing and there were just, I'm a little behind, but it's not too bad. And I think I know what's going to be going on the rest of the book, and so should be a fairly quick write. We'll see. Costumes are going well. I should this weekend have one side of the big mechanical wings done, because I've been working on the sleeve that goes over the top of all the metal and electronics and motors and all that kind of thing. Have just a few more feathers to glue on that side. You know, there's no substitute for doing it, I always kind of like to start when I do something for the first time. I like to start on the backside, you know, start on the backside in a corner, see how it goes. And sure enough, last night I was gluing a pattern of feathers and I got about 2/3 of the way through and I was like, oh yeah, that's what you should have done. But we'll do that on the front side so it will show. Anyways, but then I have one more sleeve to make. I got the sleeve on the, whatever it is, left side to do, right side. And so there's not too much work there. Now that I've done it once, you can start assembly lining it, and it's, you know, I know where I'm going. I've got all my materials prepped. It's just a matter of knocking it out. So I would hope this next week, be able to get that done and then do the tweaks that I need to do for the rat catcher costume and then loop back and start working on the jetpack, the steampunk jetpack that goes on the back of the wings for Angel Day, which is 24th, I think, in August, somewhere in there. It's like the third week of August is Be an Angel Day. So step at a time. But with the car going, rawr, 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 I was supposed to run into church and do some work at church. And I thought, you know, you need to right now go to AutoZone. So I did that, got that done. So we're good. Car's starting good. We're good. All is well. So there's that. I came across mention of an idea that I chased back to an original article this week. And somehow, I came across this at some point. But this was very telling. I'm really surprised that I didn't have this in kind of my upper range. What's interesting is this essay was actually written in December of 1958, which means I would have been 1 month old. And when this article was written, and they do say at the end, although a few of the manufacturing details and place names have changed over the past 40 years, which is obviously it's more than 40 years, it's 63 years now, the principles are unchanged. So the idea here is the title is called Pencil, My Family Tree as Told to Leonard E. Reed. So it's all about the pencil, and particularly it tries to determine how many people are responsible for the fact that we can go to the store and buy a pencil. And you might think, well, that's a pretty small object, there really wouldn't be that much to it, you know. But when he starts going through, It's pretty interesting. So this is supposedly the pencil writing. And the pencil says, I am a lead pencil, the ordinary wooden pencil familiar to all boys and girls and adults who can read and write. Writing is both my vocation and avocation. That's all I do. You may wonder why I should write a genealogy. Well, to begin with, my story is interesting, and next, I am a mystery. More so than a tree or a sunset or even a flash of lightning, but sadly I am taken for granted by those who use me as if I was a mere incident and without background. This supercilious attitude relegates me to the level of commonplace. This is not a species of grievous error in which mankind cannot persist too long. Oh, this is a species of grievous error in which mankind cannot persist too long without peril. For the wise G.K. Chesterton observed, quote, we are perishing for want of wonder, not for what of wonders. So it's very interesting. So the pencil supposedly goes through how many people were responsible for it to come into being. And when you start going through it, you say, well, you look at it and you say, well, there's some wood and there's a little lacquer on the outside and some printed labeling, some graphite lead, a bit of metal and an eraser. Big deal. What's the deal? Well, the deal is that when you start sourcing all those products and you start thinking about all the paths that all of those products took. So there was a cedar straight grain somewhere in Northern California or Oregon. Someone chopped down that tree, someone refined it, someone got it off the hill, someone got it to a sawmill to get cut down. You know, untold persons had a cup of coffee, and when they were doing this, and where did all those cups of coffee come from? I mean, once you start chasing it back, it's really amazing. Of course, you had to get the wood to more mills for refinery. How do you get it there? Well, you have to have railroads, and you have to have buses or trucks, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So even at when it makes it to the mill work, the cedar logs are cut into smaller pentelized slats, less than a quarter of an inch in thickness. These are kiln dried, then tinted for the same reason women put rouge on their faces. People prefer that I look pretty, not a pallid white. The slats are waxed and kiln dried again. How many skills went into the making of the tint and the kilns, into applying the heat, the light, the power? All of these things come together. What about all the belts and the motors and all the other things that the mill requires? The sweepers in the mill, are they partially responsible? Yes, as are the men who poured the concrete for the dam of the hydroelectric plant, which provides the power. There's all these things going on that all work together to get it there. So he says, the pencil says, you know, once the wood is in this pencil factory, at the time, $4 million in machinery and building, all capital accumulated by thrifty and saving parents. Each slat is given 8 grooves by a complex machine, after which another machine lays lead in every slat, applies glue, places another slat atop, a lead sandwich, so to speak, all cinched together. Of course, the lead itself is not really lead, it's graphite. At the time the article was written, that graphite was mined in Ceylon. So you got all the miners in Ceylon. Then you got to get all the graphite over here. So it's got to be shipped on all these ships. There are lighthouse keepers along the way to keep the ships off the rock. Then the graphite is mixed with clay from Mississippi, in which ammonium hydroxide is used in the refining process. Then wetting agents are added. All of those things, it has to be kiln heated again. All of those things have to be built. All those supplies have to be supplied. Even after you get everything together, then you get 6 coats of lacquer on it. All the ingredients that are in the lacquer, that had some had to be farmed, some had to be chemically made, they all had to be prepared. You have to put a label on it. You need black ink for that. Someone has to build all that black ink. Someone has to ship that black ink. You need a bit of metal on the end. That's brass. Someone has to mine zinc and copper. For those who have the skills, make shiny sheets of brass. They've got to be cut. They've got to be manufactured. People who make the pencils, buy those from somebody else. Someone had to create them. And, of course, the eraser. You got to get the eraser, too. And so, at the time, the article says it's a rubber-like product made by reacting rapeseed oil from Dutch East Indies with sulfur chloride. Rubber, contrary to the common notion, is only used for binding purposes. Then, too, there are numerous vulcanizing accelerating agents. The pumice comes from Italy, and the pigment, which gives the plug its color, is cadmium sulfide. So you got to have all those ingredients as well. You start adding all this stuff up, and it's not just that you have to have all those things, you have to have people who are skilled, who know how to make those things. And each person, of the millions of people that are making products that eventually coalesce down so you can have this pencil. Each of them have their own skill sets. Each of them have had their own training. Each of them have their own companies they're working for who are paying them enough money so that they can survive, so they can come back and work. That's why the pencil says of itself, I, pencil, am a complex combination of miracles. A tree, zinc, copper, graphite, so on. But to these miracles which manifest themselves in nature, even more extraordinary miracle has been added. The configuration of creative human energies, millions of tiny know-hows configurating naturally and spontaneously in response to human necessity and desire and in the absence of any human mastermind. Since God can only make a tree, I insist that only God could make me. Man can no more direct these millions of know-hows to bring me into being than he can put molecules together to create the tree. The above is what I meant when writing, if you can become aware of the miraculousness which I symbolize, you can help save the freedom mankind is so unhappily losing. Mind you, this was written in the 50s. And what is the freedom that we're losing? We are more and more embracing this idea that if we just had one centralized person who was making all the decisions, everything would be so much better. Ugh. And as I've said before, this reminds me of the consultants I've seen who will come blistering into a business, talk for 5 minutes, and decide all the ways that things should change. And then they'll start building stuff. And they'll build all this stuff, and then they'll deploy it. And there are so many things they don't know. Because there are so many humans in the mix who are finding ways to solve problems. And we ignore that at our peril. Because if we think we can do anything and just upend everything and just come up with a completely new system that's going to be great, we are in for rude awakenings. Just today I was listening as they were tracing the whole defund the police thing. You know, we're in 2020, we had a very sad incident in 2020 with the George Floyd death. And then came the great hue and cry, accompanied by riots with $2 billion worth of damage, was the last estimate that I heard. Defund the police! We have to defund the police! We're going to completely reinvent policing! We have the tools, we know how to do it! And very predictably, as the conservatives would have been quick and were quick to point out, because conservatives are nothing more than those who sit there with what is working and saying, you know, this may have some problems, but it is working. It probably would be a good idea not to rip out the foundations of this and raise everything to the ground. That's really what conservatism is. Just like, hey, let's respect what we have and what's working here, and let's not just go crazy. But of course, they didn't do that. They put pressure. They started pulling back funds in the major cities from police, haranguing the police. Lo and behold, crime rate shoots up. Gets so bad that after too many more deaths, after too many more crimes, after all that kind of stuff, then somebody wakes up and goes, oh, you know, this isn't working. Really? 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 It's not working. What a shocker. So then you get the President of the United States saying, we don't need to defund the police. We need to fund the police. And everybody claps. Yay. Yeah. No joke. So I think we should, you know, the story about the little pencil, I think, just reminds us all that we should just, before we get ripping everything up, we should just remember that what is happening in this economy, even with all the stresses that it is under, is miraculous. The fact that you can walk into a store like Walmart and there's so much stuff even still, it's miraculous. So many people. Collection of so many intelligences. In this amazing amalgam of symbiotic minds together. The intelligence and the capabilities and the accomplishments of that group mind in a system like capitalism that very simply, at a foundational level, says, you want to make some money? Start yourself a business. Find a niche. Be productive. And how that all melds together and creates things that would just be impossible to create out of the gate and have planned correctly. It's just impossible. But this leverage of human minds working together and cooperating, and frankly, all of that works far better if we love our neighbor. Works far better. So if we just kind of get back to loving our neighbor, and then we could get back to having being governed by people who just don't want to tear down all the existing structures, you know, I think we're going to do okay. But we just got to stop pretending that we can walk into very complex systems and tear them down to the nuts and bolts and rebuild and come up with something better. Because that's foolishness. And that is arrogance. That is simply destruction. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it to the end of my podcast. And I'm about ready to say I made it home, but I didn't. Made it to the end of my podcast, and I'm starting my car. Gonna go have supper with a small group. Yay, car started. Yay. Have a great weekend.